Hello and welcome to the Odds Checker betting show sponsored by 888 Sport. This is the Sunday of the Dublin Racing Festival from Leopardstown Preview. I'm your host, George Ellick, and I'm joined today by Rory DeLaghi, and Andy Holding is sadly injured, so he can't make it today, but we have Andrew Thornton taking his place. Stay tuned to hear why Rory DeLaghi thinks it might be best to swerve Paul Nicholls runners at the moment.
At his very best. He's an absolute machine, as he showed when winning this race easily last year.
Hear which unfashionable horse Rory thinks could serve it up to Sir Gerhard in the novice hurdle.
But he's got a lot of experience and he's never run a bad race over hurdles.
Find out from Andrew Thornton which Mullins horse he thinks could repeat the trick in the lucky last.
He's going to be favourite. End of story.
Yeah, very sadly, Andy Holding woke up this morning with a shoulder injury. Not entirely sure how that came about during the night, but had to bring in a replacement. And Andy is replaced by Andrew Thornton. And Andy's certainly never sat on a horse before. And we're not talking to 888 ambassador Barry Geraghty like we normally do. So it's good to have somebody who actually knows what they're talking about with us. How have you been? Welcome back to the Odds Checker Betting Show.
Thank you, George. Yeah, shoulders are good, I'm pleased to say. I've had my fair shoulder trouble over the years, but... I'll give Andy a ring after I've finished just to talk him through the rehab.
In fairness, he said when I spoke to him this morning, he called me horizontal on the sofa and said he had to type up his column this morning using one hand, which, you know, given Andy's age, I thought he always typed with one hand, but obviously not. Rory DeLaghi, great to have you back with us as well again today. You were, of course, joined us yesterday for the Saturday preview, and we're going to get shortly into Sunday's card and go through it. But a quick word on the champion hurdle before we get there, because we were hoping, and Barry said on yesterday's pod that he was hoping we'd see Appreciate It turn up. Disappointing to not see that challenge, I guess, to Honeysuckle's Crown.
Yeah, it could have been a very serious challenge, but we still don't know quite where we stand with Appreciate It. Obviously had that setback, which meant that he couldn't embark on a much awaited career of offences. But he would have given Honeysuckle something to think about. It looks like she doesn't have a huge amount of opposition now, but who knows?
Who knows indeed. We'll get into the racing now. And just before we do, just want to point the listeners and viewers in the direction of Odds Checker's Cheltenham Super Service. We're doing the hard yards for you this year. And in the lead up to the festival, that means getting you the news that matters, exclusive insight from our experts like Andy himself, and the latest bookie offers as they're released into your inbox. All you need is an email address, and you can find the link to sign up in the YouTube description below or wherever you're listening to this podcast. If you're listening to this or you're watching this, it is an absolute must do, I would say, in the run up to the Cheltenham Festival. And I'm also just going to point you in the direction of the Odds Checker app. We'll be talking today in terms of the best prices, the best bookie offers, free bets, place terms and everything else there too. Andy, as I say, will still be doing his column even with one arm. So make sure you give that work the credit it deserves by downloading the app and getting it straight to your phone, your tablet or whatever, first thing at 9 a.m. every morning. Right, the first race we're going to cover, we're going to go through all eight races at Leopardstown on Sunday. We'll do this fairly swiftly. We want to get it done within about 45 minutes. And we'll start with the first, which is the Mayor's Handicap Hurdle over 2 miles and 2 furlongs, where Party Central is the 9-4 favourite ahead of Bride's Hill at 9-2. Glan is 6-1, Must Be Obeyed 9-1. DeLady in Red 11-1 with Sit Down Lucy 14-1 bar. In Andy's absence, Rory, you are the regular here at the moment, so I'll come to you for the first run.
Yeah, Party Central is the obvious starting point here. She was only beaten a neck at the meeting last year in the Grade 2 bumper, splitting Grongy and Brandy Love. And that looks very good form now, as you would expect. And she's gone on nicely this season, winning 2 of her 3 over hurdles. And an opening mark of 121 seems pretty generous. It certainly wouldn't be getting a mark of 121 here, having won a listed hurdle. And there lies the difference between English handicappers and Irish handicappers, essentially. Yeah, she's not on a bad weight at all, and she's an obvious starting point here. There should be a fair bit more to come from her. She's the right favourite. I wouldn't be mad keen to be opposing her, but at the same time, she's 9-4. There's a little bit of each way value to be had in the race as well, I think. And I was just looking down the prices there, and you can get about 14 to 1 about Bantown Girl. And I thought she had a decent place chance here. Danny Mullins has been on the saddle for her last three runs. She's hit the frame every time. And Danny's on again for Stephen Carey. She's a wee bit disappointing in the maiden hurdle at Ferry House last time out, but still finished second there. And she'd been third in the Punchestown listed hurdle prior to that. I would have thought she's, again, you know, a mark of 115 seems very fair given what she's done. She's got a little bit to find with the favourite, but at the same time, she's likely raced enough that she might still improve. And if you're back in a reach where you don't need her to beat Party Central, but she's sitting in the frame at 14 to 1. That'll do very nicely. She's only got a light weight on her back. This race, well, most of the handicaps, if you look through the history of the races at the Dublin Festival, including where they used to stand, you tend to need lightly weighted horses. It's very difficult for exposed runners to win those handicaps. We do tend to see horses plotted up for them, and they tend to sneak in sort of 10 stone 7 or under. So she fits the bill on that front. And it wouldn't be a confident shout on these handicaps, but I think she's got a fair each way chance.
Fair each way chance there at 14 to 1. Andrew, how do you see this?
Well, as you said, Party Central, to mark a 121 for what she's done is lenient, to say the least, I would say. But, you know, it's difficult to... you can't be too harsh on them when they're going first time in a handicap. If they're wanting to head towards the Cheltenham Festival, which... it might be the case, might not. She'd have to win well to get in to something at Cheltenham. But I suppose up 121. On the flip side, I suppose the English handicapper would give a 130 something. Rory, would that be right?
I would say, well, yeah. If she wins here at all, I think the chances are that she'd be qualifying for a handicap at Cheltenham. I would say you're looking at least £7 on top of her Irish mark, depending on what the Irish handicapper does. And assuming that she's capable of winning the race, of course.
And Bride's Hill at the top got absolutely walloped for winning last time out, which, you know, when you were going in by 7.5 lengths hard held in Ireland, you're going probably, the handicap has basically doubled the distance. And I think carrying that sort of weight, giving the best part of a stone away to Party Central, is probably going to be nigh on impossible. And as Rory said, these handicaps, very few are won by top weights. It's very hard to do. If she does go and win, you know, bearing in mind last May, this mare won off a mark of 100. So she's gone up the weights. She's won a handicap last time. I doubt she can go and do it again. But I think with Rory, Party Central looks strong. The value, it's marginal, but a 9-4 winner is better than a 10-1 loser.
Indeed, it is. Hopefully a 9-4 winner about Party Central. Be Party Central round at Andrew's house if that goes in the first 9-4 best price as it stands at the moment. We'll move on to the 120, the Novice Chase, the Grade One, and Galopin de Champ is the 4-7 favourite ahead of Master McShee at 15-2, Fury Road at 8-1, Capo Dano 10-1, Beacon Edge 12-1, 25-1, French Dynamite and Gaillard Demesnil and Fighter Allen 50-1. And, you know, Andy holding and I are kindred spirits because we're both absolute each way thieves. When you see a 4-7 favourite in an 8-runner race, 15-2 bar the Fav, my eyes light up. So, Rory, you're going to tell me that the Fav can't get beat, or can we find something to take it on with each way?
The favourite looks very exciting, and I'd quite like to see him head to the Turners at the Cheltenham Festival. He's favourite for the Brown Advisory at the moment. And I've fielded against him there. With a hoist in yours, I'd quite like to see him absolutely bolt up here and then be routed for the shorter trip at Cheltenham. Obviously, this is 2.5 miles, so it's similar there. But traditionally, this tends to be a prep for the longer Novice Chase at Cheltenham. I can't be against Galopin de Champ. He was hugely impressive, but he's only had one chase start and he's 4-7. And hopefully, all the 8 go to post. The one I would be inclined to back each way in here is a horse that I'd be against at Cheltenham. In the race that he's in, because I don't think he quite stays 3 miles. But the 2.5 mile here will be ideal for Beacon Edge. He's a much bigger price than Fury Road. He's met Fury Road 4 times in the last year, and he's finished in front of him 3 times. And on the other occasion, he fell when miles clear of him. So he's clearly, they're both in the same ownership, but Beacon Edge clearly has the Indian sign over Fury Road. Fury Road did win that Grade One over Christmas, but he's a horse who doesn't always give his running, and in a battle, he doesn't always fancy it, Fury Road, whereas Beacon Edge will battle every yard. He's got a tremendous attitude. The problem with him, as we've seen in a couple of chase starts so far, is just that he's not the scopiest in the world. He doesn't find it that easy jumping his fences, but he's a real trier. And of course, if you saw him in the Drinmore, he looked beaten all ends up at halfway. He was jumping a little bit slower than the others, but they've gone pretty hard there. They've gone for home early, and he stayed on very strongly late on to win. That was over 2.5 at Ferry House. The 2-mile 5 here will suit him. The stiff finish will suit him at this trip. As I said, slight concern about his scope for jumping fences, but absolutely no concern whatsoever about his attitude. He's a real battler, a real try on a horse. He was the only horse who looked likely to trouble Flooring Porter in the Stairs Hurdle last year. He just weakened from the last hurdle, didn't quite stay the 3 miles in a well-run race, but moved really well through it. And I think this is his Gold Cup for me. I don't really fancy him at Cheltenham because I don't think he'd stay the 3 miles off the Brown Advisory. And they'd probably go a yard too fast for him in the shorter race. This is just up his street. People talk about the stiff finish at Cheltenham. It's stiffer at Leopardstown over fences. It's a real drag to the line, and that will suit him. There'll be horses here who, you know, in a battle, they won't really fancy it and they'll drop away. Whereas Beacon Edge might be the first horse who looks beaten, but he will keep galloping to the line. And that's a big positive when you're back in them each way.
Beacon Edge there, 12-1, best price as it stands at the moment. Hopefully all 8 go to post. Remember, if you do have a bet now each way and there is a non-runner and it drops to 7, you're only going to get 2 places because we are post final decks. Andrew?
I'd love to see Master McShee win. You're purely and simply because you've got a one-horse trainer. And he's the only Grade 1 winning horse in here over fences. Can he do it? I'd fancy his chances more if the heavens opened, because he's a horse who has bled before. They'll ride him stone cold at the back to switch him off and let him get warm up into the race. But I just can't see that suiting him in a race like this, where Galloping Deschamps, you know how he's going to be ridden. He's going to be out the gate. He's going to be rocking and rolling. He didn't miss a beat on his debut. How he got in at Cheltenham off a mark of 138 last year, looking back now, it was daylight robbery in the boys' race. So he looks very exciting. How can you oppose him? I think the only way for me he can get beat is if he makes a bad mistake, gets rid of his rider, or something happens on the jump in front. But looking at him jumping, it's a bit like, I would equate it to watching him the equivalent of watching Coney Gree go round as a novice. Quick, slick, accurate. He just doesn't look like he's going to make a mistake. And the best place to be on a horse that jumps well, out in front, out in trouble, out of trouble. So very hard to go against him. And my each-way play would be Cappadano, purely and simply because, you know, he's finished behind Bob Olinger last time up. Bob Olinger could be, you know, what he did over hurdles. How do you equate what's going to be the best horse around? They're dodging each other. Galloping Deschamps and Bob Olinger are trying to miss each other. I think Cappadano each way, I thought it was a good run last time up behind Bob Olinger at Punchestown. You couldn't knock what he did, but he just wasn't good enough. You know, I'd hold Bob Olinger. You know, the way he went round Cheltenham last year, he could possibly be the best novice. I'd love to see Galloping Deschamps taking him on, but I think he'd give him a lead. It's Cappadano's the each way angle into the race for me.
Cappadano, the one to take on, the favourite with it, 10-1 for Andrew. Beacon Edge at 12-1 for Rory. On then to the 150. Andrew, will come to you here first. The Dublin Chase, where Chacun Pour Soi is the 5-6 favourite, hoping home comforts back at Leopardstown will do the trick. Grenadine 100-30 as it stands. Captain Guinness 5-1, 16-1 Dunvegan, and Cashback is 20-1.
Yeah, I mean, Chacun Pour Soi, he has a great record round Leopardstown. But my concern for him was just what Willie Mullins came and said after his performance at Sandown, that it was he's had his issues, and he's had a lot of issues over the time. His jumping wasn't great. Hamstring trouble. Now, hamstrings are on where for humans and horses, they're very tricky things to get right. And that would be my worry for him, that he maybe isn't the force that he was. And if he's 10 years old now, and if he's got these issues with possibly a hamstring, now look, he wouldn't be running him unless he thought he was 100% right. Put that straight. But not you don't know until you come under pressure late on in a race, when you're getting to the 11th and 12th fence with things like that, whether they'll start to bother. I'm going to oppose him. Grenadine, Paul Nicholls' strike rate, I think at the moment, is around about the 7% mark in the last fortnight. They aren't firing on all cylinders. And he's always said in January. Now, we're not in January now, we're in February. But just. the horses haven't been firing on all cylinders. And Grenadine was a good winner at Sandown. Obviously, he couldn't get anywhere near Shishkin at Kempton. And I'm going to take a punt here with Captain Guinness, who was behind Grenadine at Sandown. And I'd call it a home game for Grenadine at Sandown. Captain Guinness, he'll have to be at his best. Obviously, good form when he won at Nace, beating Andy Dufresne. I just don't fancy Shaq and Paul Soir purely and simply because he had his issues at Sandown. And Paul Nicholls aren't firing. You may argue that Henry de Pontmercy haven't been firing on all cylinders. So there's question marks about the trainers as well as the horses and the top three in the market. So Captain Guinness, he'll run to a mark. He'll have to run to his best. He needs the others to possibly underperform, which is a possibility. Grenadine's never travelled before. So we'll have to wait and see. So Captain Guinness at the prices.
Captain Guinness, 5-1, best price as it stands. The one for Andrew. Rory, how do you see it?
Andrew summed it up pretty well. It's all about Shaq and Pursoir, but there are positives and negatives there. On his best form, he's untouchable. Well, I say untouchable. We've now found two horses who are well within touching distance of him. But at his very best, he's an absolute machine, as he showed when winning this race easily last year by 8 lengths. He backed that up at Punch's Time with a huge performance. As I think a lot of people seem to skip over Punch's Time when they're looking at seasonal form. But he beat Alaho 5.5 lengths and Nuba Negra 25 lengths that day. So it just shows how good he is on his day. He's as good at Leopardstown as he is at Punch's Town, and it's just a case of whether he's right. And the problem with that is I don't have the confidence to back anything else against him, because if he's nearly right, these won't touch him. But if he's not, obviously he might be out of the frame. I suppose the way to play this in a small field is, if you can't bring yourself to back Shaq and Persuade odds on, look for a forecast against him, rather than just finding one other horse to beat him. If you think he's vulnerable, there's a fair chance he's not going to be in the two, as he was at Sandown. If a hamstring is causing him trouble in the race, he's not going to be seeing his race out. So the best way of taking him on is have your fancy and forecast. Problem with that, of course, is as Andrew has said, the Nicholls yard really not firing. His last 20 runners, they've all started at single figures, some of them odds on, and they've all lost. So this is not just the 7% strike rate. With the more recent runners, they're running poorly. Alcala was beaten a long way at 2s on and 100 chase yesterday, for example, and it's difficult to back one from his yard. Henry de Bromhead, his strike rate hasn't improved post Christmas either. They're not running badly, but they're not winning races, so it's difficult to back Captain Guinness with a huge amount of confidence either. Maybe just throw the rest of them in forecasts against Shaq and Persuade. I'm going to do that. But for me, it's a no bet race. I can't find an angle really, because I don't know exactly how well he is. Obviously, we expected him to be right at Sandown, and he came back sore from that, and we know what the issue was. He's been untouchable on home soil. You know, his defeats have come in the UK. So back at Leopardstown, he really should win, but I can't bring myself to bet on the race.
No bet race for Rory, 5-6. If you think Shaq and Pourswa will return to form back racing over in Ireland. Now, before we get back to Andy and Rory, let me remind you of something else from Oddschecker in the build-up to the Cheltenham Festival. Racing Weekly is our new show hosted by Rishi Prasad and Sam Turner as they review the week just gone. Look forward to the weekend racing ahead and tackle the biggest stories in the sport. In this week's Racing Weekly, the chaps were joined by Aidan Coleman, fresh from his monumental ride on Paisley Park. The next episode. Let's look now at the 225, the handicap chase, where the favourite is Blackbow at 11-2, Birchdale 13-2, best price with 888 Sports, standout price, actually. The Shunter is 8-1 with Gallant John Joe and Max Flamingo. Fakir Delane 10-1, Spyglass Hill 12-1, Rebel Gold 16s, 18-1 bar. Rory, will stick with you here, 17 runners.
17 runners, again, you need to concentrate on those with low weights. I was talking about that in the first race. The only winner of that opener who's carried more than 11 stone is a grade one winner since. So that gives you an idea of what to expect. And it's a similar sort of story here. The recent winners, 10 stone 8, 9 stone 11, 10 stone 1, 10 stone 7. You know, a Toy Phil who carried 10 stone 13, he was a grade one performer prior to that. Empire of Dirt went on to win at the Cheltenham Festival, 10 stone 4. You know where you stand here. Birchdale's not a horse I've ever had an awful lot of love for, but he really caught the eye at Christmas over 3 miles when he travelled, I think, best of all in the Paddy Power Handicap and just got tired from the last, as you'd expect. I don't think he truly stays 3 miles when asked to do so. I think this is his ideal trip. And dropping back in trip with 10 stone on his back. And he's a horse who's been talked up loads in the past for various things. When he first arrived on the scene, he was a certainty for one of the novice hurdles at Cheltenham. He was talked up a lot last year as being a plot job for the Coral Cup and stuff like that. But he seems to have refined his feet now for Enda Bolger. And I think the booking of Mark McDonough is a very good one as well. So he'd only have 9 stone 7 to find. And that gives him an enormous chance because he should be out of trouble as well in the first quarter of the field. His jumping was really good last time out. And that's going to make him pretty hard to beat. I know he's a short enough price, but that tends to be the way. The other one who caught the eye was Fakir Delane, who won well at Thurles last time out over this trip. And it's only gone up £5 for that, which seems quite fair for a horse who's unexposed over fences. My only concern with him was that he very much got his own way out front that day. And it's not going to be the same sort of story here. But his overall record is pretty sound, Fakir Delane. He's clearly a danger. But for the first and only time in my life, I would imagine I'm going to back Birchdale.
First and only time, and sponsors of the show 888 Sport, 13-2 standout price for Birchdale as well. Positive mention there for Fakir Delane at 10-1. Andrew, how do you see this going?
I love novices who've been running grade run company in this, i.e., you know, just not quite good enough and having a good sighter and a good warm up. And I think Gallant John Joe fits the brief for me, been running against the likes of Bob Ollinger. Finished behind Mellon on his debut over fences. Finished behind Fernie Hollow, who sadly we're not going to see him again this season. And as I say, has never been competitive at any stage. So got 10 stone 9 in here. He's had some experience over the larger obstacles, and you know, had plenty of experience in handicap hurdles as well, and fared pretty well on that front. And, you know, when you look through his form and his pedigree, every inch a chaser, should travel well. Barry Brown, 10 stone 9, as Rory said, you know, with Manella Times in here, keeping the weights down for everything and trying to get him down a few pounds as well, I would imagine, for maybe bigger fish to fry a little bit further down the season with the Grand National. Bound to be on the agenda for him. But for, as far as this race is concerned, yeah, Gallant John Joe, 10 stone 9. He's got a good solid profile and two runs in grade one so far this season under the belt. And they say he hasn't frightened the winners, who'd be rated about 165, but a mark of 142 is workable.
mark of 1.42 for Gallant John Joe, enough to see Andrew putting his weight behind him. 8-1 best price Gallant John Joe at the moment with 888 Sport and a couple of others. Move on now to the Irish Champion Hurdle. We heard Rory a second ago talking about the fact that Appreciate It doesn't take up the entry. Honeysuckle is the 4-11 favourite, the unbeaten Honeysuckle. Zanahir 9-2. Saint Croix is 11-1, or Saint Roy, depending on what you say. Some friends of mine always mocking my French pronunciations on this podcast. Echoes and Rain 25-1, and Heaven Help Us 50-1. A star in GCSE French. Thank you very much, Andrew. Start with you here. Can you make a case? Can we see Honeysuckle get beat here, or is this just going to be another procession?
She's how can you oppose her? You know, she's just improving. The fact she should be given everything £7, never mind receiving £7 in a race like this. She's unopposable, and obviously you've got the Zani Sanwa and Echoes in Rain, who followed each other home. I'm just a shame Sharjah hasn't turned up, because we keep on saying it's amazing how a horse like Sharjah can win at Christmas, but he doesn't like the beginning of February for some reason. Just doesn't pan out for him. So that they're dodging it this year and sending him straight to Cheltenham. If he was in the field, you probably could have got 2-1 on about Honeysuckle. But you'd still oppose him because it's February. And, you know, the fact that he beat Zanahir last time and Saint-Noir and Echoes in Rain, she's unopposable. She's just so exciting. They toyed with going over fences with her, but how could you go over fences with her the way she's been performing? I don't think we, you know, now at the age of 8, that isn't going to happen. I think we just enjoy her, and A to B, one piece. I think that's the scenario for Rachel, and it doesn't matter how the race is run. If it's slowly run, she'll go on. If Zanahir tries to have a crack from the front, she'll take a lead. She's versatile, you know, every confidence in it. Even with Henry's horses just slightly been a bit below par, she can be probably a stone below her best and still go in here.
Can't make a case against her there, Andrew. But Rory, that you know, train of form, when it comes to Henry de Bromhead's horses running poorly, do you think when you've got such a classy operator as Honeysuckle, so consistent, does that still factor in to the thinking? Or is this a case of, you know, she always operates at a high level, and whether or not Henry's handicap hurdles and things like that perform well is neither here nor there?
Yeah, my view is always to treat the top class horses differently. They do tend to buck the trends. And it's not like, again, with Henry's horses, it's not like they're cutting out as if there's a virus or something like that. They're just not winning the races you'd expect them to be winning. Lots of them are being placed, lots of seconds and thirds, but not really the wins. That won't be an issue for Honeysuckle. I mean, listen, with Honeysuckle, there's always a possibility with any mare that one day they'll decide the whole thing's a bit too boring for them and they don't fancy it anymore. And it's come so easily for her as well that you just wonder whether, you know, the competitive edge might disappear at some stage, but there's been no sign of it so far. And the fact that they've kept her lightly raced as well is a positive for that, because it just keeps her slightly more on her toes and looking forward to it. So it's very, very hard to be against her here. I suppose the question is, you know, if you're betting in the race, you're looking for a good forecast. Zanahir's best chance of winning this is to set a sound pace from the start. He's looked a little bit short of toe in the finish of his races. Looks like he'll stay 2.5 miles perfectly well. I think if they're looking to beat a Honeysuckle, Jack Kennedy's gonna get out in front and try to make it a test of stamina. That'll help Honeysuckle, to be perfectly honest. They should be perfectly happy with that. But I think it might help Saint-Noir as well, who caught my eye on his return. Interestingly, Willie Mullins said he wanted to send him over fences this season. And it's quite unusual. He's not had any issues, Saint-Noir. The fact that he actually is running him over hurdles instead. So he brought him back in the Matheson hurdle over Christmas, rather than jumping a fence with him, even though clearly he would have been able to run in a maiden chase if he wanted. Suggested that Saint-Noir is showing him the signs that he didn't last year. This is a horse who was second favourite for the champion hurdle at the start of last season. And didn't really come up to scratch. He wasn't disgraced. He just didn't develop quite as quickly as we thought. With another year in his back, he might well do. That tends to be the case. And as a 7-year-old now, he should be at his peak. He was very keen in the Mathers, and unsurprisingly, given he'd been off the track for that length of time. And I thought he shipped better than the result. He's obviously got, you know, the best part of five lengths to find with Zana here on that form. But I think with the fizz taken out of him and with a strong pace to chase here, he will be better. And I think he's the danger to Honeysuckle. He might not be a massive danger in the end, but I think he's the one who might run her closest on the day.
So San Hua, the one for Rory, 11 to 1 best price at the moment, but maybe worth looking out on the day to see if there's a without Honeysuckle market. There is one firm who are out at the moment and have San Hua at 5 to 2, with Zana here 4 to 6 in the without Honeysuckle market. Maybe the way to play it if you agree with Rory. We'll move on to the third last race of the day. It's the Tattersalls Island Novice Hurdle with Sir Gerhard, the 11 to 8 favourite ahead of Three Stripe Life at 9 to 2. El Fabiolo 11 to 2. My Mate Mozzie 6 to 1. Statuaire at 8 to 1. As we'd expect here, Rory, and you know there are a few more in there as well at a bigger price, 16 to 1 and bigger. Lots of promising types in here. Sir Gerhard, one of those, and you know an impressive performance here would certainly throw the cat amongst the pigeons in the Supreme market as well. Ruby Walsh previewing this in a column, saying some very flattering things about Sir Gerhard. How do you see, you know, his class compared to the rest of the field in here?
Really hard to tell, because in strict form terms, he hasn't achieved as much as half the field over hurdles. He's only had the one run. It was in a maiden hurdle on St. Stephen's Day, and he was 2 to 9, and he won with his head in his chest. So those are always the hardest performances to rate, unless the horse goes out and produces a massive time figure. You know, that's meet and drink to Andy, that kind of thing. He didn't. He was able to set a modest enough pace, and not many were foolish enough to try to match strides with him. But he finished full of running. He's done some good running later on. He looked a natural. His jumping was really good. But trying to work out how far ahead he is of some of these in terms of his hurdling ability is very, very hard. But the vibes are very, very good. We know how good he was last season. You know, his bumper form was exceptional until he got to Punchestown and maybe find that was one run too many. But he was very good at Cheltenham, and he won't mind pressing the pace here. So I think he's got plenty going for him. Do you want to back him at that price though? I'm not sure. I think if you think he is a good thing in this race, you might as well be backing him for the Supreme, because this is a really warm contest. And if you think that he's got that much in hand, then, you know, he's also going to be a really interesting one on the Supreme. There was talk about him stepping up and trip, but I don't see any need for that at all from what I've seen of him so far. I can't really back him at odds on, because I'm not privy to what Ruby Walsh has seen. You know, the stories from home are very positive, but you can't keep backing horses purely on home reputation. And you can't back hurdlers based on bumper form either. That will keep you unstuck. So I'm not against him, but I can't justify backing him. So I've got to go each way against them. I think a few of these might crack who've shown good form already. That's usually the way with horses who look good when they're dominating. Stick them in a tough race and you know, the cracks begin to show. One horse who won't crack under the pressure is Colonel Mustard. Now, probably not good enough to win this race, but he's got a lot of experience and he's never run a bad race over hurdles. He was second to John Bond last time out at Ascot. Didn't get the run of the race at all that day because they went so slowly and he's a hold-up horse. It turned into a sprint and he started behind John Bond. You're not really going to win that race, are you? But he did very well to pass the rest of the field, and it wasn't a bad field in the Kennel Gate to finish second. He was runner-up to Echoes and Rain in a Grade 1 last year. So he's got the Grade 1 form in the book, and he's gained that extra experience as well. So I think he will acquit himself well. I think it'll be slightly disappointing if he wins the race, given the potential you have in one or two of these. But I think he will run his race and hit the frame. And you're getting 16s at the moment. I think you probably end up getting bigger on the day because he's not a particularly sexy horse. People don't like backing horses with his profile. So I think you might well get 20s. And I think Lorna Fowler's gelding could run a massive race at that price.
Colonel Mustard, 16 to 1 now, could be bigger on the day, set to run a massive race, according to Rory. Andrew, how do you see this one?
Well, you know, Three Stripe Life's in here as well. Three Stripe Life's probably got to find another 8 lengths on the Cheltenham bumper form. So even though Sir Gerhard doesn't have the experience over hurdles, he won a maiden point. He beat Manella Drama of Donald McCain's, who he sets a reasonable standard. Yeah, he's chasing now. He's got a mark of, I think it's about one high 140, stroke 150. He absolutely trounced him by 12 lengths in a point to point. So from the jumping perspective, wouldn't worry me in the slightest with Sir Gerhard. He'll have done loads of loose schooling as a youngster. He'll have had all that under his belt. He jumped well in his point to point. I know it's different, you're going back to hurdle, but from the jumping perspective, it doesn't worry me, the fact that he doesn't have that experience. What he has is top-class experience in the bumper form, beating Kilcrutt at Cheltenham, just putting them all to the sword in the maiden hurdle. Paul Townend, just keep it, he'll keep it simple, out the front. The others will have to make up two or three lengths along the way. And when you've got good horses like this, I like the way Paul rides Willie's horses. It's slightly different to Ruby, I would say. He's more, for me, aggressive on the front end. And that was shown by an Ergamine at Ascot against Shishkin. He'd learned from his previous exploits at Ascot, out the gate, get them in top gear and put them to it. He does that over hurdles and what I've seen from him this year. And I like what I see. He just makes sure that they are in top gear because he knows they stay well. And somewhere down the line, the opposition will have to find two or three lengths. And in top class company, it's not easy. So Gerhard, impossible to oppose.
Sir Gerhard, impossible to oppose for Andrew Thornton. 11-8 best price at the moment. Sir Gerhard, well, they're impossible to oppose. That's what Rory is doing with Colonel Mustard at 16-1 each way. Two more races to go, the handicap hurdle, and then the final race is the Mare's Bumper. The handicap hurdle over 2 miles, Cask Mate is the 13-2 favourite ahead of Carrera at 8-1. Get My Drift 12-1 with Arcadian Sunrise. Autumn Evening 14-1 with Sky Lane. And Magic Trick 16-1. Bar, Andrew, come to you first here.
Yeah, I was impressed with Sky Lane last time out. Beat another Gordon Elliott horse in Magic Tricks. That was at Down Royal. Good young claimer on board to negate the fact that the horse has obviously crept up the weight. And each way angle into the race, it's wide open. Obviously, Cask Mate, quite an eye-catching run first time out. And it was a small run afield, finished well behind Zane here, but as you say, once Cask Mate was beaten, it was a case of, I don't want to finish too close to Zane here because we don't want too high a handicap mark. Mark a 139 is probably scope for that, and hence why Cask Mate is at the top of the market. Got to be interesting to see. Obviously, that was a small run afield, and wouldn't have as much experience in these kind of races. Ran well round here. You know, obviously he's had a bit of time between drinks earlier on in the career, had the best part of 2.5 years off through injury, hence why a 9-year-old, you might say, how can a 9-year-old still be improving? But the fact when you have 2.5 years off, that's the reason why there could be improvement left in Cask Mate, but certainly willing to take it on.
Interesting. Rory, how do you see it?
Well, it's interesting that Andrew likes Esky Lane, who's got obvious enough claims to having won a Down Royal last time out. But if you think Esky Lane's got a chance, and he's, 12-14-1, there's no way that Wouldn't You Agree should be 16-1, because Wouldn't You Agree beat Esky Lane 2 lengths at Listowel last time out, having won his previous start at Killarney. He's now £10 better off, despite having beaten Esky Lane. The form's worked out really well, and he's been laid out for this by the look of it. Was in good form in the summer. He doesn't. The slight concern is he wouldn't want the ground too deep. Now the ground's, on the quick side at Leopardstown this weekend, but there is a fair degree of rain potentially hitting the track early on Sunday. So that would be a little bit off-putting for Wouldn't You Agree. But the form is really sound. The handicap has been kind, putting him up £2. For that very good third, I think he should have won the race, to be honest. I think he made his move slightly too soon, but he was beaten just over a length. He's, again, Mark McDonough, who's been on board for most of his runs, rides again. Hopefully he's on a double at this stage, having ridden Birchdale earlier in the day. So he'll be full of confidence. But yeah, he's got 10 stone 8 here. He's getting £10 from Esquilian. Shows the benefit of waiting for these races. If you've got a well-handicapped horse and you've got a race in mind, waiting and getting in there off a good mark rather than winning another small race and going up £10 in the handicap can obviously give you an advantage. And again, it explains why the likely weighted horses tend to win most of these handicaps as well, because they're showing the handicapper less and he can't clobber them so much. So wouldn't you agree, right down at the bottom of the weights with 10 stone 8 and very solid summer form, which is a lot more reliable in Ireland than it is in the UK. The summer meetings in Ireland can be very competitive. Obviously, we've seen that with Galway, but it's not just Galway. It's the likes of Killarney and Listowel as well that have very competitive racing. So he seems very well treated to me, and I think he's got a great chance at 16s.
16 to 1, wouldn't you agree, for Rory and Esquilane? 14 to 1 for Andrew. Form lines entwined with, wouldn't you agree, better off at the weights, according to Rory there. The final race is the Mare's Bumper, the last race of the day at Dublin Racing Festival. Pink in the Park is the 11 to 8 favourite ahead of Harmonia Maker at 5 to 1, Aber Grace 7 to 1, 10 to 1 bar. Rory, will come to you first for the lucky last.
Yeah, no, Mare's Bumper wouldn't be my ideal punting medium, but I am sweet on Pink in the Park. I wouldn't mind seeing her in the Champion Bumper. Now, she won a Mare's Bumper at Listowel in September. That was a big field, but probably a fairly weak field. But I loved the way she did it. She did it hard on the bridle, cleared away from them at the top of the straight, and she was in cruise control under Paddy Mullins at the line, but he still couldn't pull her up afterwards. She's gone round the bend there at Listowel, full of running, and I thought that was a really promising run. Her dam, Pink Hat, was very useful. Pink Hat is a half-sister to City Island. She won the Ballymore a few years ago, and their dam is a half-sister to a pair of Champion Hurdle winners, which is hardly a bad thing at all.
No.
So it's a really good family, and being by Walk in the Park as well is a big positive. As I said, you could argue that form hasn't worked out tremendously well thus far, but that's not really the point. It was essentially an exercise gallop for her, and she looked like she had tons of ability. So I think she'll take all the beating again.
Pink in the Park to take all the beating at 11 to 8. Andrew?
It's funny, isn't it? Last year's race, I think Willie had about 4 or 5 in it last year, and Grand G came out the pack with Jody Townsend on board at 16 to 1 and came and spoilt the party. I think it might happen again. Jody Townsend is on Eberhardt Grace, and this one's dam is a half sister to Bob Ollinger, no less. And Jody was on board this last time out, and you know, Pink in the Park may well be Willie's best one, but Jody's on this one, maybe was on it last time, you know, purely and simply because, you know, with this race in mind, because, you know, Patrick can only ride so many of them, and she's 7 to 1. I think she's an each way play against the favourite. You know, it's so hard to equate bumpers for bumpers. Each one of Willie's and Gordon's have looked just as impressive when they travel through the race, and it's a bit of a guessing game, but whatever Patrick rides, he's going to be favourite. End of story. So at 5 times the price, Eberhardt Grace is, I think, a worthy each way play.
Eberhardt Grace 7 to 1 best.
I've got to correct you both, guys. Eberhardt Grace. My niece is called Eva. And if my brother finds out that I'm allowing you to say Eberhardt,
I think I got it right first time, and then,
yeah, I think you did.
And then Andrew corrected me, so I went with him. And Eva Grace for the last
Rory. Apologies.
It's family business, Andrew.
He's bowing.
Absolutely.
Right. Well, that brings us to a close in this preview of the Sunday at the Dublin Racing Festival at Leopardstown. Thank you very much to Rory Delaghi and to Andrew Thornton for taking the time to talk through their fancies with us. Thank you very much to 888 Sport for sponsoring the podcast. Do check their site for all of the weekend's racing. A couple of horses we mentioned, they are top price on at the moment. Do download the Odds Checker app as well for the best prices, bookie offers, free bets and everything else, including Andy Holding's tips. Hopefully Andy will be back well soon and joining us. Do check out the Odds Checker YouTube channel as well. You can find all of our previews as well as Racing Weekly, our new show with Rishi Prasad and Sam Turner, there as well. And you can find those on the podcast providers or podcast platforms as well. So enjoy the weekend's racing over at Leopardstown. And as ever, please ensure that you are gambling responsibly.